D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Vanderbilt travels to Austin to take on Texas tomorrow, an 11 a.m. kickoff. But if you have YouTube TV, you're SOL.
You can, of course,
listen to that game right here on 94. Well, not right here, but on our sister station, 94.9 The Fan, pregame at 9:30, kickoff at 11. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. But yes, now that ESPN is no longer carried by YouTube TV, if you don't have
a way to watch it, damn.
An ESPN streaming service.
D-Mace. I got to do the ESPN. D-Mace.
I hate to say it.
You know what, Willie?
I hate to say it.
You know, I think you had it.
You know the answer.
I think this is your doing. You've been talking
about. It's not
about
my fault.
That, no. That's why you wanted to keep it. That's why you didn't want to cut the cord.
Willie has famously not cut the cord.
And for no other reason.
I have no other reason but to say.
I have no reason, but I just got to keep it. You knew this was coming down the pipeline, didn't you? You knew it. I blame it on you,
Willie. I know if I'm plugged in, I got the cord. I don't have to worry about this stuff.
Willie's tapped in, so I guess anybody that has anything other than YouTube TV, you're tapped in.
Well, I have ESPN Unlimited, which is what they want you to buy.
Yeah.
This is all about getting you to buy their streaming service, which I already have. So I'm fine. I have YouTube TV, but I'm covered because I have ESPN Unlimited. So I can watch the game tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Well, I'm going to have to do something.
You can come over.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll bring the Milky Ways.
I make sure I bring a whole bunch of Snickers.
Here's what I'll do. After the show, I'll probably go home and go trick-or-treating with my son. And I'll say, Arlo, save all of the Milky Ways. just put them aside. When Mr. Derek comes over tomorrow, you can bring them to him. He has to eat them all.
Oh, no. Ooh.
It's kind of like that old sitcom trope where the dad or mom catches the teenager smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You're going to smoke this whole carton in front of me. I'm just going to say, Derek, you're going to eat all those Milky Ways, and you can't watch any football until you eat those Milky Ways.
Having Milky Ways in your house on the table is like, and I love my grandmother and my great aunt back when they were living, even now, rest their souls. But I used to go over their house, and they would always have out the nasty candy. And they expected the kids to eat the nasty candy. I didn't eat the nasty candy. Never. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. So you know what? Milky Ways is the same thing. I would not be eating that whatsoever. I still got Milky Ways in my pantry that I need to throw out.
They are
like a year old.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to
There was last Halloween.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to carefully unwrap a Snickers and replace it with a Milky Way, then close the wrapper back up and see if you notice.
No, this is weird. This Snickers doesn't have nuts in it.
That's right. One texter is claiming that YouTube fixed it and reached an agreement.
Did they?
I have not seen that. Let me see. A glimmer of light.
I hope this is true.
You better not be playing with me.
All the people that have been tweeting me, I can't get the Predators games on YouTube TV. It's your fault.
It is your fault.
Those people are going to now come to me about the Vanderbilt game.
Yeah, it's your fault. I told you, we blame this all on you, Willie.
Anyone within the sound of my voice, Willie has not cut the cord. You can watch the Vanderbilt game at Willie's house.
Pay-per-view. Just come in with a little Jackson. $20 bill.
$20, man? Gosh.
You think it's hard to buy those apps, man. Just wait till you try to come to my house.
Nevertheless.
Well, nope, we can't get it.
I haven't seen any news of this, Texter.
Disney Channel is unavailable.
Are you lying to us, Texter? If you're lying to us, you're banned from the program. I am not afraid to hand out some bannings. I've already done some shadow bannings on the program. Just saying. Texas favored by 3.5 at home against Vanderbilt. This is Texas's first home game in more than a month. The Longhorns past 4 games, 3 on the road, 1 at a neutral site. But they are favored by 3.5, despite the fact that we don't know the status of Arch Manning. He is listed as questionable. He practiced on Thursday. Coach Steve Sarkisian said he was, quote, making good progress, but his status to return from a concussion for tomorrow's game remains uncertain.
But wouldn't you say that in our experience, from afar, I would speculate that he will play if he's practicing on Thursday, barring a setback where symptoms pop back up? I think he's on track to play. Would we agree based on what we know about protocols?
Yes.
Without knowing specifics of any one player.
Yeah, if he's
and the line has moved. I think that is also maybe an indicator that he's going
to
play.
It's been hovering around 1.5, 2.5. Now it's up to 3.5. At least it is on ESPN Bet. But I am hoping that Arch Manning plays tomorrow for a couple of reasons. One, I love the matchup between Arch Manning and Diego Pavio, because the two of them come from completely different worlds. Willie, I think you'll appreciate this reference I'm about to make. Arch Manning, to me, is Stan Gable from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, wow. Stan the man Gable.
Stan Gable was a quarterback. Yes, he was a quarterback.
For Adams College. Wow. Home of the Adams. The Adams.
He is the sweater tied around the neck, 80s preppy villain. That's Arch Manning. The Manning legacy flows through his veins. He was born to be a quarterback. And Diego Pavia, he's the leader of the outcasts, because I don't see Diego Pavia as much of a nerd, so I don't think I could make the same reference. But he's the former JUCO quarterback who had to scratch and claw to where he is today. So I just love that dynamic of this potential matchup. The heir apparent to the Manning throne, and Diego Pavia. So we'll get more into the actual matchup, but just the differences between the quarterbacks is something that's really fascinating.
It's good. It's a good story in the backdrop of how each guy arrived. I agree. And I also think that it's worth, for perspective, even though Vanderbilt is the hot team and the higher-ranked team, which would have been probably pretty hard to envision, even as late as August 25th, like before anybody played a game. Like, I think I would go as far as to say, when people were looking at Texas preseason number one, Vanderbilt preseason unranked, at that time people were saying, hey, let's look at Vanderbilt's schedule. Can they get back to a bowl game? Let's go down their schedule. Win, win, loss, loss. Texas would have been a loss. It wouldn't have been, hey, there's a swing game on the schedule. It would have been, well, loss. Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, I think if you've had 100 people do that, maybe the most diehard people would have said, well, maybe they have a chance. But I think it would have been, without much thought at all, L. And now we're talking about, hey, the line has gone from 1.5 up to 3.5. So it has completely changed in the backdrop there. So I still think we can't forget how talented and how much Texas brings to the table, especially down there. So this is an extremely tough game for Vanderbilt. But that being said, we've said this all year long. Their formula, if they play it, keep the ball, move the chains, good execution, that has allowed them to be in games if they're opportunistic and they cash in on the chances they get. Unlike at Alabama, where they did a lot of good things, but when it was time to cash in twice, they didn't do it, and that cost them the game.
So since losing to since Texas lost to Florida at Florida on October 4th.
There it is right there, Adam. Look behind you. ESPN's doing it right. Preseason, it was 87% Texas.
To make the college football playoffs.
I thought you could probably easy go
higher.
Vanderbilt
at 2%.
Yeah, I'm surprised Vanderbilt was 2% before the season started.
Since Texas lost to Florida in early October, the Longhorns defeated Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. The past 2 weeks on the road at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, the Longhorns needed overtime to beat both teams, who are a combined 0-9 in the SEC. So Texas needed a miraculous comeback last week to beat Mississippi State? They were down big in that game.
They were. They were down 14 in the fourth quarter.
And the backup quarterback, who could start tomorrow, assuming Arch Manning isn't cleared, but I expect him to be cleared, the backup quarterback had to lead the game-winning drive in overtime. So, one texter, Eli from Smyrna, this is a good question. Can y'all help me understand why Vandy is the underdog? Last season, Vanderbilt was an appreciably, good word, worse team than they are. You get two dings. An appreciably worse team than they are this year and only lost by three.
Last year has nothing to do with this game.
No. I think this team is better than last year's team. If it's just, you know, guys are just more familiar with what they're doing. They've had a season underneath, you know, in this system with the offensive coordinator Beck and Coach Lee leading them. And Diego, they know him a lot better this year than they did last year. So, and Diego understands how he's going to win in this conference. So I think they are a much better team, but Texas has shown they haven't made much progress this season. Now, has Arch Manning played well at times? Yes, he has. But when they needed to play well, you know, when they're playing some good teams, he didn't play well outside of the OU game, and I mean Oklahoma. And Oklahoma didn't have their quarterback. But he didn't play well in the Kentucky game, and he played okay in the Mississippi State game. So, I mean, he played better than okay. But this Vanderbilt team, I understand why they are the favorite to win this game. Because to me, they're just a better team. They may not have the better quarterback from a notoriety standpoint or the talent standpoint, but they got the quarterback that's going to win and knows how to win and knows what it takes to win. And outside of the Alabama game, he has shown up at every big moment that they needed him. And I just think, frankly, will it win them the game this weekend? I don't know, but I think Vanderbilt is the better team this season.
Here's the other reason why I hope Arch Manning plays tomorrow. Because let's say he doesn't and Vanderbilt wins. You're going to hear a lot of the same stuff you've been hearing recently about Vanderbilt's resume. Well, I'm going to borrow Willie's old, I can't believe you lost to Vanderbilt voice here for a minute. Well, Vanderbilt beat South Carolina, who was without Lenora Sellers for most of the game. And they beat LSU, who really wasn't that good. They fired Brian Kelly 2 weeks later. And they beat Missouri by a touchdown with a third-string quarterback in for the Tigers. And they beat Texas on the road, but Arch Manning didn't play.
Oh, that would be a big narrative.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I am hoping that Arch Manning does play. So if Vanderbilt wins, that can't be part of the argument.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think you take what comes. There's no control they have over any of that stuff.
Correct.
And I think all you can do is show up, play. I think the big thing I'm looking at in this game is Texas, I think, is a better team at home, like most teams are. Mm-hmm. And they're desperate. They know they cannot lose this game and make the playoffs. They are supposed to make the playoffs. That's especially with all of the – they made the playoffs last year, all of the expectations that automatically go when you're wearing a Texas uniform and all of the players that they have on paper. They're supposed to make the playoffs. They know one more loss, that's it. So I don't know if that means the pressure is more on them or a desperate team is going to bring their best to the table tomorrow. I have a feeling it's going to be that. And I do think that Vanderbilt is going to have to fight the fact that if they were to lose this game, there's still a pathway to get to 10-2 and probably have a pretty good case to get in if they could win the last three games. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
I don't know if it's automatic. It depends on what happens around the country. But I think if you go 10-2 in the SEC,
I think you're in.
You're more years than not, you're going to be in. So it's intriguing here that because you didn't used to have this. It used to be teams that are trying to play for a playoff, no one was more desperate than the other. But I kind of think that it's a little more like pro football now.
No, it is. You know, Texas has been a good team. They were the number one team, ranked team in the country coming into the season. Now, you know, the quarterback play hasn't been what it has been. But I think because that is the case, people are always looking at Texas as, you know, oh, they should win no matter what. But, again, you look at what Vandy has done. And it's not just this year. I think people are just looking at it in an isolated situation. Because I don't think people discount what happened last year. Even though it wasn't a great record, people still discount, in a sense, the Alabama win. And what they're doing this season is like all of a sudden it seems like, oh, this is something new. But this has been a buildup for Vandy. You know, and this season is much better than last season, but this has been a buildup. You saw it in this team. They figured out how to win games now. So regardless of how you look at it, I would love for Arch Manning to play, because I think even if he does play, I don't think he's shown enough that I think he's going to be like Vandy single-handed. He's going to beat him.
Quickly, before we get to Chad Withrow, some Tennessee-adjacent breaking news from Heather Dinich. The NCAA has informed Jacksonville State it could hire former Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt as an analyst.
As an analyst.
Pruitt, who was sentenced to a six-year show cause order after an NCAA infractions ruling in 2023, will coach for the first time since he was fired at Tennessee in January 2021. He will work in a role that doesn't include interacting with recruits and will have limited interaction with the players. He has already served a year-long suspension from coaching in games, and part of the original penalty included preventing him from recruiting off campus in his first year back if he returned to college coaching. So, Jeremy Pruitt, back in the game.
Isn't that odd? Chad will have a good take on this, but there's some analogy we should make. It's like the bank robber who was in jail for robbing banks. All of a sudden, it's legal to go to the banks and take whatever you want now from the banks. Bank robbing is no longer illegal, but he still can't rob banks because he got thrown in jail for robbing banks.
And by the way, we will take it to the bank later in the show. 615-737-1025. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick will join us next. We will get into this matchup between Vanderbilt and Texas. We'll also talk about Oklahoma versus Tennessee in another huge SEC matchup that's coming up next. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, Jaguars and Raiders at 3:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro and 12 South. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. A little time warp.
A little Rocky Horror for anybody? Anyone? Anyone?
Tomorrow's College Football Game of the Week is number 5 Georgia versus Florida at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan following the Vanderbilt game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. He joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, I thought you would be pleased to know that Jeremy Pruitt is back in the game, hired by Jacksonville State as an analyst.
Well, I am a listener of you guys, and I heard Willie talking about it. And I think the right analogy for this is someone that was busted during Prohibition for selling bootleg liquor, bathtub gin, suddenly becomes like the biggest liquor distributorship in the country because it's legalized and you're out of prohibition. So, you know, everything Jeremy Pruitt was doing with, you know, cash in McDonald's bags or whatever the food was. I don't think it was McDonald's. I've heard from someone that it was a little bit more high-end than McDonald's. But, you know, whatever he was doing that was obviously frowned upon during that time is now completely legal. So, yeah, he can go and be an analyst and not talk to players at Jacksonville State. But make no mistake about it. I mean, look at Bobby Petrino at Arkansas. These schools are shameless. If someone can help them win, he is going to be a defensive coordinator for an SEC team again at some point. He was too good of that when he was a defensive coordinator at both Georgia and for Nick Saban. So he's going to get another opportunity. If you can help somebody win, it doesn't matter what you've done. You're going to get hired. And I fully expect him to be a defensive coordinator in the next 3 to 5 years.
Let's talk about tomorrow's matchup between Vanderbilt and Texas. It's really, Chad, put up or shut up time for Texas. It's been a month since the Longhorns have played at home. They needed overtime to defeat Kentucky and Mississippi State in each of the past 2 weeks. Neither team has won a game in the SEC. So the desperation will be high in Austin for the Longhorns. Based on what you know about the Commodores, how do you think they will handle that desperate atmosphere tomorrow in Austin?
This is one of those weird games where everything you've seen from both teams makes you believe that Vanderbilt is the better team. They've been the better team on the field. They've got better wins. They've got better moxie about them in late game situations. But yet here's Texas as a, what, 2.5, 3-point favorite in this game. And it's largely because it's at home. I do think that Texas has an advantage defensively. You know, I think their defense is really good. And I think that what we saw from Missouri and what they were able to do to Vanderbilt defensively, that Texas is going to have some good fortune defensively in this game. But guys, I haven't seen it with Arch Manning yet. I mean, I think Vanderbilt's defense is definitely the underrated part of this team. So I know that Molly McGrath is reporting that he's going to go through concussion protocol in the morning. As long as he's cleared, he's going to play. But I don't know how Texas scores a bunch of points, whether he plays or the backup. So, look, I think Texas wins a close game and a low-scoring game in this one. But, man, oh, man, you're right about the pressure. I mean, suddenly three losses for Texas, you're out of the playoff race. You're staring the possibility of 7-5 right in the face. And then all this talk about Steve Sarkisian, the NFL, starts to make a little bit more sense if they go 7-5 with this Texas roster. And then on the flip side for Vandy, I mean, you're a win over Auburn and Kentucky away from punching your ticket, regardless of what happens in Knoxville, if you can win this game. I think 10-2 in the SEC is going to get you in. So they win this game on the road. I think their home wins over Kentucky and Auburn away from being in the college football playoff, regardless of what happens in Knoxville on Thanksgiving weekend.
Now, Chad, you brought up Sark, and I did want to ask you a question about it. And it's pertaining, say if he does leave, because right now, listen, Arch Hatton, you know, manifest into everything that everybody thought he would be, you know, at least by now. Has he been horrible? No, but it hasn't been what everybody has thought it was going to be. And maybe Sark is on a hot seat if they don't make it to the playoffs. I don't know. Or if they don't win, if they lose another game. But if he does leave, Arch has two more years. Is that an indictment on possibly what he feel Arch may or may not do? Or is it just his opportunity to go to the NFL as a head coach? Because when you have a talent like that as a head coach, that can only bolster your resume if you win a national championship. And if you believe he can, then you stay, don't you?
Yeah, yes, to the last question. Look, I think two things are true here. I think Arch has been a massive disappointment this year. He may get a lot better. I think he will get better, and he could be better next year, but massive disappointment based on expectations and the star rating and everything else. And I think the other thing that's true is if you are a college coach right now in this unregulated era, and you have a chance, let's say you're making $8 million or $10 million, whatever it is. If you have a chance to make close to that same amount of money to be an NFL coach, you jump at that opportunity. I mean, head coach in the NFL is far easier right now than what a college coach is dealing with trying to, you know, hold their roster down and no real contracts. Players can leave whenever they want. I mean, you're essentially dealing with a pro roster already. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with money demands. You're dealing with guys unhappy because someone else is making more money and threatening to leave. It's a lot harder right now as a college coach. So, again, if the money is close and you get that pro opportunity, the lifestyle, the quality of life, everything, I think it's way better than the NFL. And I do think that NFL teams should start to look to college coaches more often. The old adage, D-Mace, of mm-hmm. You know, a college coach can't do it simply because it's their way or the highway, and you can't be a dictator in the NFL, and these are grown men with families and mortgages and everything else. I mean, that's college coaching now. Like, you got to play the game in college if you're going to be a successful coach also. So I think that these college coaches are more ready than ever. The NFL game resembles the college game maybe more than ever. I think you should start looking at guys like this. And by the way, I completely buy the Diana Rossini report. Mm-hmm. I think his agent has looked around and talked to the Titans or other teams, because a lot of agents are going to be doing that right now to try to see what their best opportunity might be. And again, if they lose this weekend, and let's say they lose a couple, I mean, that's 7-5 Texas, huge disappointment for a team that was expected to be, you know, playing for a national championship this year.
Now, what are your thoughts with UT? Because it seemed like UT, even after the Georgia game and the loss, there still was this buzz about UT, and they're still a great team. But then after the Alabama loss and how they looked, it seemed like, at least from a national standpoint, some of the shine has worn off. They still have an opportunity to run the table and make it to the college football playoffs at least. But what are your thoughts on UT as they head into the Oklahoma game?
I mean, they got to outscore everybody. It's that simple. Like, their defense is bad. You know, I don't know the reason for it. I know they lost a lot from last year. But, I mean, you want to talk about a group that's making Jermod McCoy and Ricky Gibson and James Pierce and Omar Norman Lott and those guys from last year's defense look like world beaters. I mean, no one expected this level of drop-off from a really good defense from a year ago with some of the guys they had coming back. So it's been a struggle for Tim Banks this year. But on the flip side of that, you know, I look at them defensively. Oklahoma's got the best defense in the SEC, one of the best in the country. They've only forced four turnovers this year. Tennessee's defense, D-Mace, has scored five touchdowns this year and forced 10 turnovers. So, I mean, it's total feast or famine. It is, they are getting a pick six or a scoop and score, or they're hitting the quarterback hard, or they're giving up a 90-yard drive. And not really putting up much of a fight on third down. So, look, I think we're not talking enough about Joey Aguilar and his story. It's one of the best in college football. He was shunned at UCLA the same way Tennessee was shunned by Nico. And he's come up here, and he's the best passer in the SEC. He's putting up some of the best passing numbers in the country. He was incredible a week ago in Lexington, and he did not practice last week because of that injury he sustained in the Alabama game. He's been practicing this week. It's a great showcase opportunity for him. If he can put up big numbers and Tennessee can score a lot in this game, I would start to think about Joey Aguilar in the Heisman conversation as well.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, I've got one for a part of a topic we had earlier this week, and that is if you're Lane Kiffin, and it was funny because we were going through the history of Lane Kiffin, the weird time with the Raiders and then getting fired on the tarmac before he was allowed to get on the plane for USC. Like, this guy has been through a lot of stuff. The history of Lane Kiffin, that could be like a five-season Netflix series. I don't know who would play Lane Kiffin. But if you're him, right, and you know all you probably have to do is say the word, and he could have his choice of probably two or three premier jobs that traditionally would be a notch up from where he is right now at Ole Miss. But with all of the madness going on, could you argue that with him knowing the surroundings at Ole Miss, if he could get assurances that the resources could be comparable, that he would be better off staying at Ole Miss?
Absolutely. And Willie, yeah, and first off, Leo should play Lane Kiffin. He can play everyone else. He'd okay. be a great casting call. Similar age. With both those guys now, I think Leo's about to turn 50 or just turned 50 or right around there. So I think that'd be a good one for Lane Kiffin. Yes, I think you can make that argument at a lot of jobs. You know, what especially when you look at LSU, LSU is the best job available, right? History, recruiting base, fan support, all of that. I would give them the nod over Florida, who I think is the second best job right now that's available. But when you see what the governor is saying,
yeah,
and
they were talking about the AD, like the AD may not even be allowed to, like they're arguing whether he is allowed to be a part of the search.
The AD was fired too.
I mean, it's insane
at LSU.
Congrats to Louisiana for electing Bobby Boucher as the governor.
Do you really want to go there? Like we know that you have the players and everything, but like, do you really want to go to that?
No, not unless you're like John Sumrall will take it, you know, under what the conditions are, no matter what, he would take a job like that. But I mean, I heard his accent. I'm like, is this real? I thought it was an AI deepfake when I first saw the press conference because of the exaggerated accent. I mean, he's also not wrong that it is a conflict of interest that Jimmy Sexton represents the AD and all the coaches, and he's getting a lot of people filthy rich with these buyouts. And I would like to see an LSU do some sort of responsible, you know, incentive-based contract for somebody that's less on buyout. Maybe you give them a big signing bonus when they take the job also. It's going to attract some good candidates. You know, if I'm Tenney Dillingham at Arizona State and I'm offered the LSU job, I probably take it. But like you said, if you're Lane Kiffin and you're going to be in the playoff this year, which they should be, and you've done what you've done there, and you know that you've got financial backing from the Grove Collective and from that school, I wouldn't leave Ole Miss. I really do think that Lane Kiffin fears another Knoxville exit. Like, I do think that whole thing shook him because he took his dream job and he got fired 3 years later because he didn't win enough. And he loved it in Knoxville. I mean, he talks glowingly about that job and how good it is and it's underrated and that, you know, knowing what he knows now, he shouldn't have left. I think that's in the back of his mind, guys. I now believe after watching that Jeff Landry press conference that Lane Kiffin's not going to take that LSU job. I think odds are that he stays put at Ole Miss. And the way college football is structured right now, why not? If they're going to pay you top dollar and they're going to continue to invest in the transfer portal with money for players, you can win and win big at Ole Miss just like you can at LSU.
Okay, so we've got Leo as the star. He's going to play Lane Kiffin in the Netflix series. So in the episode where Lane Kiffin leaves Tennessee, I can see Chad Withrow as an extra playing a Tennessee student and taking the mattresses and lighting them a fire in the in the dorms.
Yep.
Would you'd be all over that, wouldn't you, Chad? You could get a couple of your buddies and reenact that?
I would love to do it. I'd love to do it, but with the age I'm getting, I'm going to have to audition to play the part of Bud Ford, the SID, and that's telling everybody to shut up in the press conference. He was getting loose in that press conference, telling everybody to shut up when they were firing questions at Lane Kiffin the whole time. I mean, that was such a surreal scene when you look back on it. ESPN did that documentary, but it was – I mean, it didn't tell you anything you didn't know if you follow Lane Kiffin's career.
Right. It needs to be a drama.
I'd like to see the in-depth, you know, situation that's going on now with Lane Kiffin and all the stops along the way. And Al Davis, Christian Bale is playing Al Davis in the movie about John Madden, right? Nicolas Cage is playing John Madden. Christian Bale with a lot of makeup is playing Al Davis. I want to see Al Davis with the overhead projector again, too, calling Lane Kiffin a liar and a phony. Or
he's
whatever he called him.
We can see if Ryan Murphy is available to produce that Lane Kiffin series. Yes. Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze, Ving and Adonik. He joins us every Friday at 4:20. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
You had American Sports Story, the Aaron Hernandez story, American Sports Story, the Lane Kiffin saga.
There you go.
I'm watching every episode of that. Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. Speaking of that phone number, it is Halloween, so why don't we give something away? If you would like a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Vancouver Canucks at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, November 3rd, so this coming Monday, be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. If you are caller number 3, you will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators host the Canucks at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, 7:30 puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. A little Ghostbusters, keeping the Halloween spirit.
D-Maze played the real Ghostbusters last week.
Yeah, man.
Ray Parker Jr. There's only one Ghostbuster. Even though he did steal the riff from the Huey Lewis in the News. He did get busted for that. Still a great song, though.
Loved it.
He got sued, right?
Ghostbusters.
I think he lost.
Something.
That's not right.
I think Huey won.
In the neighborhood.
I Want a New Drug.
Who you
the bass line.
That's news to
Ghostbusters.
Me. You didn't know that? Did you see what I did there?
That was very nice. Good job.
There.
That was news to you, huh?
That was news to me. Huey Lewis and the News
But
to
you
me.
Knew about Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes.
But you didn't know about Huey Lewis versus Ray Parker Jr.
I'm still tripping. You know about the Nerds, man.
You knew about the Tri-Lamps.
Exactly. Everybody forgets about that one guy, but not you, Adam.
If you missed it, Adam equated Not Eli Manning, but Arch Manning to Stan Gable, the quarterback of the non-nerds.
Stan Gable's name never gets mentioned. It's everybody else's, but I'm glad you mentioned Stan Gable.
But I was thinking, I was trying to
think. He was coached
by
John Goodman in the movie.
I was trying to think about the, what I was saying earlier was, I love the quarterback matchup because Arch Manning and Diego Pavia come from completely different backgrounds. And I equated Arch Manning to Stan Gable, the sweater tied around his neck, 80s preppy villain slash quarterback. Because he's a Manning. He's a Manning. He comes from a legacy of great quarterbacks. And then there's Diego Pavia, who is not a nerd. He's not a nerd, but he is the leader of the outcasts. Diego Pavia.
The misfits, is like they call themselves,
misfits,
right?
That's absolutely true. That is true. They should sell those T-shirts if they haven't already. But quickly, let's talk about the other matchup happening in our state. Another huge matchup. I like to call these college football playoff eliminators. Oklahoma at Tennessee absolutely is a college football playoff eliminator. Both teams have two losses overall and in the SEC. And it seems that neither of these teams have any margin for error. I think Mitch Light said this yesterday. The loser of this game is out, right? The loser of this game is out of the college football playoff field. It really does feel that way. And when it comes to Tennessee, they just gave up 34 points to Kentucky. They won 56-34, but they still gave up 34 points to Kentucky, as Chad just said. Defense isn't good. But can John Mateer and the Sooners take advantage of that on the road? That's the question I'm wondering.
I think Mateer is the key. The question is he now close to being back, comfortable throwing, not worried about the injury that he's tried to play through?
He hasn't played well since he's come back.
No, he hasn't looked the same. And they're really getting more by with defense. Now, ESPN has this thing called Matchup Predictor. Which is not—it's not the line, right? We're always conditioned to look at this point spread to say, you know, who's going to win,
which is Tennessee by 2.5 at the moment.
But the matchup predictor has Tennessee at 63% to OU 37%, and to compare, I find this interesting. What do you think the as they divide up the pie in the ESPN analytic predictor has for Texas Vanderbilt?
I would say they have Texas at 75%.
It's close. It's 70-30, which might surprise some people because there's still this thing of, well, Vanderbilt's higher ranked. Why isn't Vanderbilt? We had a texter earlier. Why isn't Vanderbilt favored in the game? I think you do have to remember that despite rankings and point spreads, the analytic people have, I think, a more accurate view of the when you lay out the talent and you put it in the environment here. Certainly at Neyland Stadium, you think that Tennessee has a really good chance here to get a quality win. But Mateer, to me, is the key.
And the other thing, too, Derek, is when you look at some of these teams in the SEC, Tennessee may have the most realistic chance to win out if they get past Oklahoma. After Oklahoma on Tennessee's schedule is a home game against Diego Pavia's former team, New Mexico State, followed by a trip to Florida, and then hosting Vanderbilt. Oklahoma, after visiting Tennessee, goes to Alabama, then hosts Missouri, and hosts LSU.
Wow.
Texas,
I did not realize that.
After playing Vanderbilt, goes to Georgia, hosts Arkansas, and hosts Texas A&M. So
very difficult.
So Tennessee, if the Vols can get past the Sooners, their path to a college football playoff spot may be the quote-unquote easiest of the four teams we've been talking about, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas, and Vanderbilt.
But are we assuming too much that it's still going to be so much about how many losses you have and not because we're waiting to see if it ever changes.
By the way, the first college football playoff ranking is Tuesday.
And so I wonder, I'm sure that'll be discussed, but will they be able to put all of the history aside of decades and decades of, well, if you have one loss and I have zero losses, it's going to be me unless you prove that I have the worst schedule of all time and you have the toughest schedule. Like, it's don't we agree? It's,
which takes us back to the Indiana conversation we had earlier this week.
I think that's a good example. I think that's a good example. So I think it'll be put to the test. Like, Ole Miss, look at who they've got down the stretch. Like, Ole Miss has already played their toughest games. Ole Miss should be able to get to the finish line with one loss.
A lot of it depends on, you know, how these schools do outside of the conference, in other conferences. You look at the ACC. You got Louisville and Georgia Tech and the Hurricanes. Combined, all three of them got two losses. Yellow Jackets sitting at 8-0. So can the ACC get two teams out of their conference? I don't think anybody saw the ACC getting a lot of teams out of this conference. And they essentially can get two, three teams. They would have an argument. If it sort of lays out in a certain way, they would have an argument to three teams in at least in the playoffs.
By the way, Ole Miss's remaining schedule. Check this out. Home to South Carolina, home to the Citadel, home to Florida, at Mississippi State.
Oh, they have the easiest schedule by far.
That looks like 4-0 to me.
But a lot of it does. Right. A lot of it depends on what these teams are doing outside. Notre Dame, they're 5-2 or 6-2. 5-2 or 6-2. If they win out, so you are talking about a two-loss team in an independent conference that they're gonna put Notre Dame in. So what if Notre Dame has another loss? Then what happens? Does another
Notre Dame is a really fascinating one.
Does the SEC
when they start
kick
comparing
him in? Exactly.
the schedules? Because remember the article came out and said, is Vanderbilt last year's Indiana?
Right. We talked about that on Monday.
Well,
or
Ole Miss, in theory, could be sitting there. And I right now, because of where they're ranked, I don't think they'd even pop into somebody's mind. But Ole Miss has had a little bit happen to them. What Vanderbilt has happened. They beat LSU when LSU was ranked fourth. That's a big signature win that vaulted Ole Miss up into the rankings, right? But that win has lost a little bit of luster, just like Vanderbilt beating LSU has lost a little bit of luster, even though LSU was still ranked 10th when Vanderbilt beat them, and that was just 2 weeks ago. Oklahoma was a really good win for Ole Miss at Oklahoma, a huge win. But you could see Oklahoma, if they lost tomorrow against Tennessee, which they might, and then lost, who did you say was still on Oklahoma's schedule? They've got some tough games. They could be 7-5. And then at the end of the year, you're going, like, who did Ole Miss beat? Who did Ole Miss, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of good teams in the SEC, and some of them are going to end up at like 7-5.
Oklahoma at Tennessee, at Alabama, home to Missouri, home to LSU.
Right, so they would do well to finish 8-4, Oklahoma. So that win may not look as exciting for LSU. So LSU doesn't play Alabama. I'm sorry, Ole Miss doesn't play Alabama. They lost to Georgia. They don't play Texas A&M. Obviously, they don't play Vanderbilt. And they don't play Texas. So there's still a lot of games to play just in the SEC that I think we are going to look back 3 weeks from now and say, wow, we had it wrong. Like, I think the picture could completely change with a lot of these teams.
Here's what's funny. And I know this just for snits and giggles. If the season was to end today, the SEC could argue we should have 6-8 teams in the playoffs. If it ended today.
Right, but a lot of those teams play each other.
They play each other. Right? I know some have really good played teams. Each yeah. other, but they would have an argument. And I know the season doesn't end now, but I'm just saying, as tough as this conference has been, they would have a legitimate, like, hey, listen, we should have at least, let's just say, six teams in the college football playoffs.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee's matchup against Oklahoma tomorrow. We will continue to discuss Vanderbilt at Texas. We'll talk some Titans. All coming up next, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.